In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our dear, beloved Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast preserved us through the night. We thank Thee for this beautiful and warm spring morning, where we can see how nature is beginning to come back to life. We thank Thee for this day that we can live, dear Father, in Thy kingdom, a new day of grace. In Thy kingdom, we can believe our faults, our sins forgiven in the name of Thy dear Son, Jesus Christ. We pray unto Thee this morning, dear Father, that You would yet continue to call those that are walking in the darkness of unbelief. Gather them into this fold, into Thy kingdom, so that they can also be partakers of that hope that Thy children have, the hope of eternal life when we pass from this life. This morning, dear Father, we ask that You would be with us. Grant unto Thy poor and weak servant the words that are needed for our souls this moment. Bless Thy word wherever it is spoken to Thy glory. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We will read God's word, which is recorded in the 16th chapter of John, beginning from verse 5. Verse 15. The words are in Jesus' name as follows. But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Amen. This portion of scriptures that we read is happening before Good Friday, when our Savior Jesus was crucified on the cross. He talks to the disciples, and the disciples, they are scared. They are confused. They don't understand near everything that Jesus is speaking unto them. They are afraid of what is to come. They are afraid of what they will experience because Jesus has told them of things to come that will affect them. So in this light, when we look at the situation of the disciples, and when we think of the picture which we have so often heard, how God's children are as those timid and weak sheep that Jesus, our shepherd, is shepherding. The disciples are huddled around Jesus as scared sheep. They are scared because Jesus has told them that they will be left alone. This portion of scriptures, it has a heading that says, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And of this Spirit, Jesus speaks to his disciples. There are 11 of them that are listening to this sermon that Jesus is speaking. Judas is no longer there. He has left God's kingdom to betray Jesus. The power of the Holy Spirit is gifted from above. It is coming from God. If we think of our lives, our thoughts, at times our behavior, we certainly don't deserve to be owners of that great gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Many people in this world, they strongly disagree that we can preach the forgiveness of sins unto other people. And the common thought is that we are taking God's place. For only God can forgive sins. Already in the Bible times, or in the Bible time, there were carpenters, farmers, and fishermen that were granted this power of the Holy Spirit to release a needy person from their bonds of sin. So how is this possible? Our text explained why this is possible. It speaks of the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, because it does comfort. It comforts us because the Holy Spirit is from God, and God is in heaven. When the Holy Spirit speaks in a very childlike way, we believers of this day, we are instructed through the pages of the Bible that message is from God. It is from heaven. But it is preached by us who are faulty and weak. We are prone to sin. We in ourselves, we can never take God's place. It is spoken by lips of men. Forgiveness can only be done and given from heaven. But we also know this, that Holy Spirit, which dwells within every child of God, when we forgive sins, it is being forgiven through the Spirit of God from heaven, but also on earth. When we have communion services, we read from sacred acts. We read a portion every time. When Jesus speaks to his disciples and he says, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. Whoever sins ye retain, they are retained." But also it says that whatsoever ye shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Or in other words, when you preach the forgiveness of sins upon this earth by us who have been gifted the Spirit of God into our hearts, that is God's speech unto them. When we forgive sins through the Spirit of God, it has been forgiven also in heaven, just like the Bible says. That is our connection to heaven. It is the Spirit that dwells within us. And it is that same Spirit that once will go back to its Maker, because that's where it belongs. When we die, we don't take anything with us. Nothing else is allowed in heaven but the Spirit of God. Everything else is left. So here we see how important it is that we, moment by moment, that we would treasure this great gift that we have been gifted to by our Heavenly Father. It has been given to all believers, from the youngest to the oldest. Jesus begins by saying that but now I will go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? The disciples didn't dare to ask Jesus where he is going. Jesus has told them that he will leave their midst. So why are they not asking? In the next verse, it says that it is because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. So what things did Jesus tell the disciples? In the very first verse of the 16th chapter, the first three verses read that these things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. And then Jesus explains some things, some parts of what they will experience. They shall put you out of the synagogues. The time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. So when we have this thought as a backdrop of whatever follows that conversation, I'm sure it would stop us too to think that, wait a minute, so we might be killed? At least, I think that would be my first thought anyway. So whatever Jesus speaks to them after this, they kind of put up like a deaf ear to it, and they dwell on these things that Jesus spoke to them. So in our text, Jesus said, but because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. It was certainly not what they wanted to hear. the pain, the difficulty that they are going to have to go through because they are believers. Persecution that they will have to endure, and also death. Many of them died the death of a martyr. They died because and only because they were believers. It is not easy to always be thankful and to remember to thank our Heavenly Father for giving us difficulties. Even in sickness, when one is so sick that they are facing certain death, certainly it would not be easy to thank God for that trial. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. So here, their worst fear, keeping in mind what they had heard Jesus speak just a few verses earlier, they do not realize that that is what is best for them. To this point, as they have followed Jesus for about 3 years, when Jesus began his public ministry and called his disciples one by one to follow him, they have felt safe. They have felt that someone was in charge. He had always said the right things. He had done these great miracles that far goes over human understanding. They trusted Jesus. They believed Jesus. But yet, there were so many that did not. That is why when he rode in to Jerusalem, he was standing on that mountain, Mount of Olives, I believe. He looked down on the city, and the Bible says that Jesus wept. He cried over the city, the people that were living within that city, that those fellow Jews who were of the same origin as Jesus, the Son of God, they rejected him. And it was going to come to a boiling point where they will kill him. So Jesus here says that the Comforter will come to them when Jesus departs. He says that I will send the Comforter unto you. And when the Comforter is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And the following two verses in our text, it speaks of what the Spirit of the truth, the function of the Spirit of truth is, and what the Spirit will reveal. It reveals and rebukes the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. And of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of righteousness of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. This word, reprove, I had to look it up in the dictionary. I'm sure most of you know what it means. And I think the dictionary said that reprove equals someone who is expressing disapproval of something. For you little school children, if you are late for class for no reason, the teacher would reprove of your actions. So maybe that explains it just a little bit. It also tells us, it explains in this portion what it means when the Spirit of God is expressing the disapproval of the sin that is in this world. Also of the righteousness of the world and the judgment. There are many stories that we can relate. When we have spoken to unbelieving people, they often think that we judge them when we express our viewpoint to their actions. When we explain how we believe, it is many times being taken as judgment, as if we are judging them personally. They get easily offended and maybe even think that we think we are above them. But we know that that is not the case. But this doesn't only go for those who are on the outside of God's kingdom. I think this also pertains to us, children of God in God's kingdom. When we are being rebuked or corrected in some ways, we are not judging, because we know that judging is God's alone and no one else, only God. But it is the Spirit of God that is speaking when we are being corrected, when we are being rebuked. Oh, how easy it is for our flesh to rebel and go against the help that is being offered. And that is what it is. It is help. Those words are God's words unto that person. And sometimes that person is us. So, brothers and sisters, let us continue to pray for a humble and a mind that is ready to accept and receive that help that is sent. It's not always easy to listen to it and to own up to what you have done. But it is so that we want to help one another. We want everyone to one time reach heaven. That is what is the most important part. And the part that is not willing to receive rebuke or correction, it is our flesh. That part gets left here. It is not going to heaven. It will be left here. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that He shall speak, and He will show you things to come. This speaks of the Spirit of the truth, which is the Comforter that Jesus promised few verses earlier. This Spirit of truth, it is the Holy Spirit that every child of God own. We that are in God's kingdom, we all have that Spirit. That is what's glorifying its Maker. It glorifies, that Spirit wishes to glorify God in heaven. Everything that we do, everything that we accomplish in our lives, all those are done because God has given us that ability. May we always remember to give praise and glory to God, because He is the one that has given you the ability to do the things that you do. Even the things that you do really well, maybe better than any other person in your family, maybe better than any other of your friends, but remain humble and thankful, and remember that God has given you that ability, that great gift. Everything that we have is from God. Our hearing, our eyes, our speech, our minds, everything that we have is from God. So all the glory, it does belong to God. In our services, we often sing. Singing is a big part of what we do. Songs are small sermons that we cannot express ourselves often. But songs themselves are small sermons of thankfulness to our Heavenly Father. When we read through some songs, or the songs that are in our book, we can see that there is as a red thread going through all songs, glorifying and praising God, just like it said in our text, that He shall glorify me. And He is speaking of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, that the Spirit of truth shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. We cannot take any glory for what we have done, even the seemingly good things that we have done. No glory goes to us, but it all goes to our Father who is in heaven. If you remember John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, preparer of the way, John the Baptist and Jesus, they lived at the same time in this world. John was preaching before Jesus began his public ministry. And at the end, right before Jesus began, John knew that he was faulty. John knew that he himself was lacking. But yet, through the power of the Holy Spirit, he spoke and he rebuked and he taught believing and unbelieving people, those that were in the listening audience. But at the end, he said, I must decrease, and he must increase. So he gave the glory to God, to the Son of God, the second in the Godhead. He knew that Jesus was God's Son, which was sent to this earth to pay the sin debt of all people. And this Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is found in God's kingdom. It is not found anywhere else. It is found only in God's kingdom. Congregations are spread out throughout the world believers are in many, many different countries, different continents, but the Spirit is the same. God's Spirit does not change. When we read sermons from the Old Testament, they were written thousands and thousands of years ago. But the Spirit has not changed. The Spirit is still the same. The people of the Old Testament time, they needed to ask for their sins forgiven. And nothing has changed. We need to have our sins forgiven to receive strength so we can continue to believe. So this morning, dear brother and dear sister, dear weary travel friend, however you find yourself, you may uplift your heart and believe that all your sins, all your doubts, all your faults are forgiven. In Jesus' name and precious atonement blood. This absolution is spoken by faulty and sin-fallen mankind. But through the power of the Spirit of God. And those who preach the gospel, as you know, they also, as the Bible says, they need to live of the gospel. And that is how I feel. Can I also believe all my many sins forgiven? I do desire to believe along with you. This gift that we have, the gift of the Holy Spirit, it is so big. It is such a great gift that we cannot understand the magnitude of what all it is. And we don't need to. We can simply believe as little children. That way we are preserved in God's kingdom. Maybe you have heard of the book. I believe it is written by Juhani Ulyas, and it is called The Treasure Hidden in the Field. Many times that book is referred to in sermons, perhaps, but also in Bible class. This treasure hidden in the field, the treasure is God's kingdom. And Jesus speaks of this in Matthew. He has written two short parables of this when he speaks of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew, in its 13th chapter, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. the Spirit of truth is what dwells in God's congregations spread throughout this world. This Spirit is what we have in common. It unites us regardless where we go when we meet other believing people. There is that unity and connection that the world cannot understand. But how we feel so strongly and so clearly. I mentioned to the Sunday school this morning of the theme, the topic for this Sunday, which is a citizen of heaven in the world. And I explained to them of how important it is that we would always endeavor to be the citizens of heaven regardless of where we go. We cannot show two different passports in our endeavor regardless of where we are. But we always have to remember that we are on our way to heaven. That is where our spirit belongs. The Scripture says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are on our way to heaven. If we are like the world in all things, we cannot be, which is actually written in Matthew 5 in the Beatitudes, we cannot be that light that Jesus speaks of when he began his Sermon on the Mount. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, beginning from 14th verse, it says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick that giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." This is how we endeavor to believe. This is how we can make it to heaven, and our spirit is being united once again with its Maker. Continue to believe moment by moment, and keep this Spirit the greatest treasure that you and I can own. In Jesus' name, amen. The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.